Good morning, everyone. Welcome. It's FPC Radio Live, and finally, the Aaron Rodgers trade to the New York Jets has been done. And kind of not surprising, obviously, because we've been obviously waiting for this for, well, what feels like years. Reality, it's been a couple months. But we, John, you and I, were talking yesterday. We were kind of expecting this to happen either Thursday or Friday. At the very least, we put the odds of it happening before the end of the week very high. And I think, you know, they were still able to surprise us a little bit by getting it done yesterday.
Yeah, without question. I mean, it had to get done before the draft because obviously we saw what the compensation is. They flipped first round pick. So now the Packers pick 13th, the Jets pick 15th. And in between that is the Patriots at 14th. Now, Belichick will ruin the drama of all of that by trading out of the 14th overall pick.
Of course.
But, yeah, of course, because that's what he does. But you figured it had to get done by Thursday. I was surprised that there were so many draft choices involved. There were six draft choices in this trade, which I think made Bill Belichick jealous because he loves making these deals where, okay, we'll swap picks, but you get a fifth, I get a sixth, then later on we get a seventh, you know, that type of mechanism. But it seems to be a fair deal, and I think the Jets try to get some protection with that pick for next year, being conditional depending on how much Rodgers plays this year. Maybe they got some sort of commitment from Rodgers that he's going to play 2 years, although that doesn't really mean much with Aaron Rodgers. He could say that now and then retire after 1 year, but I'm glad this is finally done.
Yeah, I mean, well, I mean, if you're Jets or at least Jets fans, you're breathing a sigh of relief just because, well, you know, the long history of that franchise being tortured, you got to figure, well, the trade was probably never going to happen and they were going to have to run back with Zach Wilson. So, you know, look, they're breathing easy tonight. They know, okay, next season we have Aaron Rodgers. And we talked about this a little bit over the last couple of weeks, just kind of, you know, just kind of, obviously, we know Aaron Rodgers is going to improve the Jets. There's no doubt about it. Where they ultimately rank in the AFC remains to be seen, but they have a really good defense. I think they have some really nice pieces on offense. Obviously, they have the Offensive Rookie of the Year as well as the Defensive Rookie of the Year. So all they were really missing was an elite quarterback. Well, hello, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's not, you know, he's not 2011 Aaron Rodgers. He may not even be back-to-back MVP Aaron Rodgers. But even a little bit less than that, I think the Jets are in really good shape.
If they had competent quarterback play last year, they'd probably go 10-7, right? They lost a couple of games, one to Minnesota, one to the Patriots, and there was one other game in there where, you know, if they just played solidly at that position, they'd probably go 10-7 and qualify for the playoffs.
They scored 7 touchdowns in their last 10 games, I think it was.
Incredible. Yeah, I mean, they just weren't in the games. And even when they were in the games, it was because their defense is a top-5 defense. Like you said, they've got some talent on offense. Got to shore up that offensive line a little bit, which they probably will do in the draft. Maybe you sign another free agent, whatever the case may be. We know that these elite quarterbacks do make the offensive line better just with their sheer experience and intelligence. He's got his offensive coordinator from Green Bay, Nathaniel Hackett, although Rodgers will run the offense. I would say right now looking at the AFC, Cincinnati and Kansas City to me are the two best teams. They have the two best quarterbacks. They've met in consecutive AFC championship games. Buffalo's kind of on a level unto itself because I still think that they could slip some this year. And then there's about 4 or 5 teams after that that are in a group. And I would put the Jets in there now that they have, you know, an elite level quarterback.
Yeah. And look, I mean, I'm right there with you with the Bills. I think this is the, you know, I think we've reached the peak of their, you know, we don't know if it's their ability or hype, probably a little bit of the hype with the Bills. So I think they're going to take a little bit of a step back, both in public perception and I think on the football field. I think we saw, you know, not a regression, but not the type of, I guess, improvement you wanted to see from Josh Allen because, you know, we've marveled, so to speak, at his year-to-year improvement and his ability to kind of take the next step every single year. And this past season, well, at the end of the day, he had some nice moments, but he turned the ball over a lot, John. So I think now all of a sudden, you give them some serious competition in the East. Now, Miami was serious competition early on, but then Tua got injured, and they're going to be a very good team here too. You know, maybe if they they really want to be serious, John, you know what to do. Okay, they know what to do, and that is to coax a 46-year-old man out of retirement. But that's beside the point. The Jets were just not competitive. The Bills were really clearly the best team in that division. But I think now they get some really serious competition from the Jets. And not because the Jets have any sort of cachet. It's that, look, you got another elite quarterback in that division. On top of, well, again, Miami's going to be pretty good. And, you know, it remains to be seen what New England's going to do. I mean, we have the entire draft ahead of us. So there's a lot of things that are going to change just within the next week. So Buffalo, I think, is they haven't gotten better. Dare I say they've gotten a little bit worse. And I think, you know, we're kind of getting to the point now where some of these players might start getting frustrated because the honeymoon phase is over. And if you're not going to win, all of a sudden, all that fun and we love Buffalo, that kind of goes out the window with elite players who want to just win football games and not be satisfied with just getting to the playoffs.
Then there's a lot of finger-pointing, right, whether it be at the coach or the coach with the players. And at some point, I think it could be exhausting. I think Sean McDermott's a really good coach, but I think his style probably wears on players and assistant coaches, and maybe at some point enough is enough. Maybe they go make a coaching change if they go, I don't know, 10-7 this year and bow out the first round of the playoffs. Maybe they'll say, we have talent here. We have an elite quarterback. Maybe it's time to move on from the coach. So I think he's under a little bit of pressure this year, as is the entire organization. So, yeah, the AFC East is just going to be fascinating to watch this year. I mean, I think most people agree the Patriots are probably slated to be the fourth-place team. But the Patriots, and I think, you know, if they can have a good draft this year and with better coaching on the offensive side of the ball, they can be a factor too. So you could see a division
if Mac Jones plays really good football, this Patriots team's going to be very good, and you're going to have four really good teams in this division.
Yeah, I mean, you could see a 12-win team, an 11-win team, a 10-win team, and a 9-win team. And the Patriots could still finish last 0-9-8 and be a better team than they were a year ago, right? Because, again, the division is that much stronger. The conference is just loaded. You've just added another elite quarterback. I mean, if Brady ever comes back to the Dolphins,
that would come on. That has incredible. That has to happen now. Aaron Rodgers versus Tom Brady twice a year.
Oh man, and both of them against Josh Allen twice a year, and both of them against Bill Belichick twice a year. I mean, oh my God, that division, you could just have it, could have its own network.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just show the games from the AFC East all of the time. It would be really, really exciting to watch. But yeah, and you know Brady, how much of a competitor he is, how much of a psycho he is. When he heard this news, he's probably like, damn, I want to come back. You know, I want to get back into the arena.
Yeah, I kind of hope he's just bored at this point. Like, I'm looking for signs that, you know, when he starts taking up, like, different hobbies. You know, he started posting cat photos recently. So, you know, I think maybe the process has started. But let's just hope it kind of, you know, comes to fruition before it's too late. But no, seriously.
He's eating dinner at 4:15 in the afternoon. That's a sure sign that it's time to get back into the arena.
He's like, all right, enough of this. Last time I went 40 days. This time I've gone about, 80 days almost, it seems like. I don't know.
Right.
My math's no good. But I don't know. Anyways, getting back to the topic at hand. Well, I like Joel says Brady should come out of retirement and go to the 40. Well, look, the 49ers, I think, still need a little bit of help at the quarterback position, too. I'm not quite sold on Brock Purdy. But, yeah, you know, go to the 49ers, meet the Jets in the Super Bowl, beat the Jets. It's kind of like my Buffalo Bills fantasy, where the Bills finally get to the Super Bowl, only to see Tom Brady. And, well, fortunately for them, I guess, for now, he's you know, that situation cannot come to fruition. But, you know, like I said, maybe that will change. Maybe that will change. But, look, the Jets are better today than they were, well, whenever it was when we didn't think Aaron Rodgers was going to be the Jets. Because, again, this didn't come as any surprise. This didn't, I mean, hell, the odds didn't change for the Jets because, well, they were set weeks ago when Aaron Rodgers went on the Pat McAfee show and said he intends to play for the New York Jets. So, this isn't a surprise to anyone. I think there's just kind of like a, okay, Now we can start actually talking about football and what this team can do to win some football games, because they were a really good defense last year, John. Something that, you know, you can argue Aaron Rodgers hasn't always had. Now, you know, I think that's a little bit overblown in terms of, you know, the argument's always like, oh, Aaron Rodgers doesn't have a defense. No, he's had some really pretty good defenses. Not what the Jets have necessarily had this past year. And if they continue to improve, then it's going to be a pretty good situation for him in that offense, who, you know, maybe won't have to carry the load necessarily.
Yeah, I mean, he's had some decent defenses in Green Bay. I thought in 2020 their defense was good. The following year when he won yet another MVP, their defense was good. I mean, they lost to the 49ers without giving up a defensive touchdown. So I thought their defense played pretty well in that divisional round. It's just Rodgers put 10 points on the board, not enough. And then they had the snafu with the special teams, which flipped that game completely around. So, yeah, the Jets' defense is outstanding. You've got Garrett Wilson, who is Offensive Rookie of the Year. You've got Breece Hall, who should be back and healthy at running back. You know, they do have to shore up the offensive line because that'll make everything fit. And I just kind of laugh at people who say, is it too much that they're giving up Aaron Rodgers? Why are they going to get into bed with him? Well, look, there are 134 teams in the four major sports leagues in the United States and Canada. 134 teams. The New York Jets have the longest playoff drought among all of those teams. Mm-hmm. They haven't been to the postseason since 2010. Since their last playoff appearance, listen to this. Aaron Rodgers has won four league MVPs and has gone to the playoffs nine times and has gone to four NFC championship games. Now, he's lost them all, but at least he's gone there. The Detroit Lions have gone to the playoffs three times since then. The Detroit Lions, you know, who we all make fun of, have gone to the playoffs three more times than the Jets over the last 12 years. And the Seattle Kraken, who were in their second year of existence, are currently playing in the NHL playoffs. So, of course, the Jets had to make this move. I mean, as a famous fan once said, you can't fall off the bed if you sleep on the floor.
In reality, too, they moved up two spots, moved back two spots. You're telling me that you're going to find equal or better value picking two spots ahead, and I understand, okay, the, you know, next year's draft pick will likely become a first round pick because he only has to play, I think, 65% of the snaps for it to become a first rounder. So, yeah, you do that 100 times out of 100. Whether it works or not, I mean, it was a no brainer because the compensation wasn't terrible. And to your point, I mean, this is a team that is starved for anything. Anything, like any sort of success, and you bring in Aaron Rodgers, mm-hmm. and that greatly increases your chances of that. And going back to what you said, you know, the last time they were in the playoffs, they made the AFC Championship game, part of a back-to-back run. That was the season right before Aaron Rodgers won a Super Bowl, and we talk about how long it's been since Aaron Rodgers last won a Super Bowl. Well, maybe two birds, one stone. Maybe he takes care of two very long droughts this season. I don't necessarily think so. You know, my gut, you know, and again, this is before the draft, and this is before what could be some additional moves to make this team better and so on and so forth. And certainly everything can change with injuries and whatnot, but I don't think they're going to go to the Super Bowl. I still think, you know, like, kind of like what you said, I think the Chiefs and Bengals are better. I think there'll be a competition with the Bills, but they could end up being a better team. You know, you could, I mean, who knows? Maybe you see a huge jump from Tua in Miami, and they surprise us. You know, everyone's talking about, well, it's the Bills, the Jets, and then Miami and New England. Well, if Miami plays really good football, it's interesting. I mean, they're obviously, like I said, a better team, but because of how loaded this AFC is, or at least we presume how loaded it's going to be, it might be a tough out for Rodgers to get back to the Super Bowl. Something that, again, I mean, he's, you know, all praise aside, I mean, that's something he's struggled to get back to, even with really good Green Bay teams that were clearly the best regular season teams in the NFC.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing when you just look back. They won the Super Bowl following the 2010 season. From that point forward, they've probably been the most successful and most consistent team in the NFC, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've gone to the playoffs like 9 out of 12 years, which is pretty good. They've gone to four NFC championship games. I mean, you can make a case that they're the most successful franchise in the NFC since 2010. And even if you take away the Super Bowl, since that point, they've been the most successful team. They just haven't gone back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You know, they've gotten there and they just can't break through. And it's been frustrating, and we'll see what happens. He's going to a tougher conference, probably the most talented division he's ever been part of, you know, because you've got a clear favorite in Buffalo and an ascending team in Miami, and we know the Patriots are going to always be a factor. So, yeah, there's no, like, Detroit Lions that he could beat up on, or Chicago Bears that he could beat up on. You know, the six games within the division are going to be hotly contested.
Yeah. And again, even the worst team in the division, you know, again, assuming – I say worse because, well, someone has to finish fourth. Assuming the Patriots come in fourth in this division, you're still going up against Bill Belichick twice. And a very talented Patriots defense. Again, it's their season really hinges on the offense, and in particular Mac Jones. So all of a sudden, if Mac Jones comes out and has a very good season, you're talking about maybe a three-team race for second, or even a four-team race for fourth. First. Mm-hmm. So it's not going to be easy by any stretch, and you know it also obviously comes down to how quickly or how efficiently can they gel. Maybe not as quickly, but again, with the competition in this conference, you don't really want to fall behind too early. I mean, you may be able to have some growing pains early on, but you certainly don't want that to linger too long, especially because, again, you got to assume this is year to year at this point. I think he'll probably play two seasons. But I wouldn't bet a whole lot on it. Let's just put it that way. So
yeah, I think he's all in this year, and then we have to see what happens this year to determine what's going to happen in 2024. I would, 50-50 at that point. But the Jets had to do this; they had no choice. I mean, do you want to go back to Zach Wilson as your starting quarterback and go 7-10 again? No.
Don't.
Although Zach Wilson's mom is very happy with the move, because actually, Zach Wilson and Aaron Rodgers have a relationship. Zach Wilson's idol is Aaron Rodgers, so maybe he sits behind Rodgers and watches for a couple of years and gets it. I don't know. Probably that won't happen either. Rodgers has never been a guy that embraces young quarterbacks. A lot of the great quarterbacks never do. I mean, it's just not.
Maybe he
can do that now, knowing it. He's not. If you're like when Garoppolo came here, Brady was still pulling 37. Still.
And look, this isn't Rodgers' franchise either. You know, it's not like he's still with the Packers. Like, he's with the Jets, so, you know, there's a different, you know, there's kind of a different, you know, I don't know, just maybe he'll embrace it a little bit more. And look, if you're the Jets, yeah, you absolutely want to see if you can somehow get anything out of Zach Wilson in the future. And if that means taking an unconventional route to becoming the starter again, then that's the case. So before we move on, though, number eight, you feeling it? Number eight, no. Aaron Rodgers, ARA. No. Yeah, I hate it.
No.
I hate it.
Hate it.
I hate it.
Joe Namath. Joe Namath said he can have number 12. Joe Namath's number 12 is retired. He's like a descendant of Joe Namath.
Yeah.
You know, how many times have I said it? Namath to Burt Jones to Dan Marino to Aaron Rodgers. Those are like the four guys that I look at with that just pure release, and it's just great to watch. They're so smooth, all of that stuff. Not saying they're the four greatest quarterbacks ever, but in terms of that type of thing, you know, he's like a descendant of Joe Namath, so I think he'd look really cool in number 12, and I was kind of hoping the Jets would go back to the uniforms that Namath wore. Yeah. You know, the white helmet with the Jets and the like, that cool number 12. But number 8, I know he wore that at Cal, but I don't like it.
No, we'll see. We'll see. We'll see how it is. You know, no more AR-12, though. So, anyways, your Los Angeles LeBrons. Like that. I know they're not your Lakers.
I like that.
But they're your LeBrons. Both the Lakers and the Heat are up 3-1. And not only, it would be the first time that not that we have a long history or a long sample size of seasons with the play-in tournament. However, it would be the first time either play-in team would win a series. And dare I say, it would be, at least in the East, quite shocking. Now, obviously, we know Giannis had missed two games prior to last night, but, you know, Jimmy Butler, 56 points. Like,
man,
are you kidding me? I think at one point, John, didn't he? I think he scored 20 in a row for the Heat.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, 20 points in a row.
Like,
yep. Look,
he's 22 in the first quarter, some ridiculous number. He's like, you know, on pace to maybe eclipse Jordan's playoff record. Maybe challenge Chamberlain's 100 points, which would have been hilarious.
Oh, I mean, look, honestly, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that Milwaukee still wins this series. They just have to win three in a row, and no Tyler Hero, no Victor Oladipo. Is Jimmy Butler going to score? I mean, I'm not that I'm doubting Jimmy Butler, John, right now at this point, but, you know, is he going to score 56 every night? And I don't know, but look, the Heat are, this is obviously, if you're the Celtics, this is why you wanted to play Atlanta over Miami, because Miami mm-hmm. does have a tendency of being able to do something like this, whereas, you know, if you're the Celtics, you're sitting pretty right now going into game five tonight. So you have Jimmy Butler going off for 56, and now Milwaukee's in a 3-1 hole. And then your guy LeBron, 20-20, oldest guy to ever do that, not just in the postseason, but in any season. They have Memphis 3-1. And look, I mean, I keep saying it every time we bring it up. Like, I'm no LeBron defender, but like this is the biggest like face plant from trash talking. I feel like I can remember in the more recent time in sports. I mean, Dylan Brooks. I mean, not only have they just completely fallen flat after that win, but he's been bad. I mean, just so bad. And I think it's actually kind of funny. As much as I hate seeing LeBron have success in the Lakers win, it is still really funny to have someone really get up into someone's face and what I felt was pretty disrespectful. And then not only that, but, you know, then to ultimately fall flat, I think is pretty funny and some poetic karma, in my opinion. But 3-1, both of them. Do you think they're both going to advance, the Lakers and the Heat?
I feel more confident in the Lakers because they have LeBron and Anthony Davis, who, by the way, Anthony Davis, talk about high ceiling, low floor. I mean, he'll follow up a 34-point, 17-rebound game with like a 12-11 game. So Lord knows what you're going to get from Anthony Davis. When he's good, he's really good. Yeah, I feel more confident in the Lakers. I think they'll close it out, maybe not in Memphis, but back home in L.A. in game 6. Mm-hmm. Giannis is still quite capable of going off and, you know, getting 50 points himself in any given game. And, you know, if they can just somehow win game 5 and put a little pressure on Miami, I think Milwaukee can still do it. I think with LeBron and Dylan Brooks was talking about LeBron. I don't talk about him until he gets 40. Well, LeBron said, well, I'm not going to get 40 points, but I'm going to get 20 points, 20 rebounds. There's 40. There's the 40 for you. So, I think the Lakers will be in good shape with this. And look, the key to the Lakers hasn't been LeBron or Anthony Davis putting up astronomical scoring numbers. It's been their defense. Mm-hmm. You know, the last third of the season, they were one of the top three or four defensive teams in the league. They've carried that over into the playoffs. When they play defense, like those two guys can, it trickles down to the rest of the team, and it impacts them on the offensive end as well. I think I still have this funny feeling it's going to be Celtics-Lakers in the finals for the 13th time in league history. That would be splendid.
Yeah, I mean, look, obviously, yeah, I could go with that. I mean, because look, we still both like the Suns in the West, but sometimes you can just see, okay, maybe the Lakers are going on a little bit of a run. Maybe they got a little bit of mojo. And look, the West isn't as, you know, it's not as tough as the East, I feel like. And but even then, John, I mean, if you have the Bucks getting knocked out, all of a sudden Celtics are going to have home court advantage throughout. We talked about Joel Embiid's injury yesterday. As much as the Heat story's nice, do I think they're going to ride this all the way to an NBA Finals appearance? No, I mean, I think they're not. I mean, they took advantage. Not that they haven't dealt with injuries themselves, but when you're the Bucks and you don't have Giannis for two games, and I understand that they won one of those, it changes a lot. And as much as he played yesterday, he had a triple-double. But I can't believe that he's 100% healthy. So the Heat are certainly taking advantage of that. I don't know if they could do that against a team like the Celtics. So I don't think they're necessarily going to use this as a springboard to the NBA Finals. But you look at that at the landscape of the East right now, and for the Celtics, it's like when you're driving on a long like city highway and you just hit every single green light. You're just like, all right, I'm just going to keep rolling. And you know what? It may not, you know, you may not hit a red until you get to the finals. So.
Yeah, no, the thing about the Celtics, which is amazing, probably unlike any other team in the league, they're not as reliant on their superstars. Now, look, the other night, Tatum and Brown each had 31 points. I don't think either one was great the other night. Tatum, his shot selection was questionable, and Brown was terrible early and great late. But they just have so much other talent there. You know, Malcolm Brogdon's quite capable of giving you 20. Derek White can give you 20. Marcus Smart, 15. Al Horford didn't even have to shoot the other night, but he's contributing on the board. I thought Rob Williams might have been their best player in game four. So they're just so deep. You know, when you look at Philadelphia, it's like, okay, unless Embiid goes off, what's their chance of beating the Celtics? Not much. Milwaukee does have other really good players besides Giannis, but, you know, he's so great and they're so reliant on him that if he's at 75%, can they make a deep run in the playoffs? So that's where the Celtics seem to have an advantage over just about every team in the league, because as great as Tatum and Brown are, you know, one of those guys can have an off night, and Brogdon or Derek White will step right up and fill in the gap, and they'll still win. So that's why I think they are still the favorite, clearly.
Yeah, and excuse me, to your point about, like, Al Horford, like, he could not shoot for two games, and he could hit, like, 5 or 6 three-pointers. And all of a sudden, it's the Al Horford game, and everyone's like, we love Al, you know, Big Al, all that stuff. And look, that's just, I mean, that's why this Celtics team is so good and dangerous, certainly in the postseason. Maybe it doesn't translate all the time during the regular season, but if you're an opposing team and you have to play this team, well, potentially 7 times in about a 10 to 12 day span, well, or 10 to 14 day span, well, yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough and it's going to be hard for you to beat them. That's why it's like the depth reigns supreme. And that's one of the commonalities between the Celtics and their, winter sport counterpart. In the Bruins, they both are very, very deep. So, it's interesting. It's going to be a fun story. We talk, you know, it's funny because we always talk about, oh, well, you know, oftentimes the 8 and 7 seed in the NBA doesn't really have a chance. And now you have 2 1-8 seed and 1 7 seed looking like they're very well on their way to the second round, which again will be fascinating. And again, no one's believing that the Lakers are your traditional 7th seed with LeBron and AD, because, you know, look, when they're healthy, you know, you got to figure they can compete with certainly anyone. But at the same time, they're still a 7th seed. Yeah, it'll be fun to see. Last thing, hockey. Last night was pretty fun. The Bruins didn't play. They don't play tonight either. Kind of a bummer. Kind of breaks up that every other night thing. But the Celtics do. Bruins play tomorrow night. However, their potential second-round opponent may be becoming a little bit clearer because, John, last night the Maple Leafs, in a very reverse situation, they kind of pulled the George. They did the opposite of what they did back in 2013, and that is they overcame a 4-1 deficit in the third period and won the game in overtime. And in this situation, they have put the 3-time defending Eastern Conference champions on the brink of elimination, up 3-1 over the Lightning. So that was pretty fascinating to see. And again, I mean, I have a lot of interest in that series. For one, obviously, the winner of that series will play the winner of the Bruins and the Panthers. And with the Bruins up 3-1, very likely that one, you know, they may be looking at Toronto as their second round opponent, and in which case I say, by all means, bring it on. I want to see Toronto and Boston go at it. I think that would be great.
That would be the marquee series, right, in the second round, without question.
Yeah.
The Rangers are playing New Jersey right now, so one of them is going to play Carolina, you know, which is an outstanding team, but it's not a huge market with a huge following nationally. I mean, you know, Toronto is really Canada's team. As much as the Canadians have all that success, it almost feels like the entire country is pulling for Toronto because they haven't won the Cup in 55 years, and a Canadian team hasn't won the Cup since 1993, and this is their best chance, obviously, with the Maple Leafs. Yeah, that would be a fascinating second-round series, without question. You know, they still got to finish this thing off. If there's any team that can blow a 3-1 series lead,
yeah,
it is the Maple Leafs.
They certainly can do that. Well, you know, it's funny. It's like, you know, that you're talking about, like, they're finally going to win a playoff series. Is this the year only for them to run into the greatest regular season team of all time by record and points, you know? And a team that look, obviously the series isn't over, but my confidence has not swayed even after that Game 2 loss where the Bruins kind of looked really unlike themselves. It's going to be good for Toronto to win that series, but as good as they are, and they're a good team. They've always been a talented team. It's just, it's the Leafs, you know? They haven't, like, they're cursed. I mean, the tragic irony of the fact that the Stanley Cup, the physical Stanley Cup, resides a mile down the street from Scotiabank Arena for much of the year when it's not traveling at the Hockey Hall of Fame. The irony, the tragic irony of that being the case is actually, it's hilarious, actually, from my point of view. Maybe tragic from Maple Leafs point of view, fan point of view. But to me, I think it's hilarious. And the fact that they just haven't had any sort of even remote success when it comes to competing for a cup or even coming close in the last 50-some-odd years is hilarious. So there's always that factor, and I think that plays a role in it. Ultimately, I think this is a team that, in Tampa at least, that is obviously on the downswing. I mean, this is a team the last 3 years went to three straight cup finals. That wears on you. Age gets to you. Vasilevsky hasn't played as well as he has in the past. So I think this is a great series, or a perfect series, for Toronto to win. But if they face a team that has the defensive structure and goaltending like the Bruins, this is, again, like I said, I mean, it's going to be a great story in Toronto for like a day and a half if they advance. But ultimately, they're going to run into a buzzsaw in a team that I think, especially in a 7-game series, can really kind of dominate and really take control of what Toronto does best with their defensive structure. So great game last night, certainly in Tampa. There was the silence was deafening, John. I don't think that makes any sense, but I think I got my point across.
You did, absolutely. The Maple Leafs feel a little bit like the Red Sox before 2004. Like, with the thing about the Red Sox is they were going to World Series occasionally, right? 67, 75, 86. So, you know, like once every decade, they would find themselves in the World Series. The Maple Leafs haven't even done that. Like, the last time the Maple Leafs won a series, Tom Brady only had 2 Super Bowls. Like, that was 2004. So, I mean, just getting that first series win in nearly 20 years will be quite an accomplishment for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it will be a great story, and it's not like this is not going to be competitive, but, like, honestly, it just wouldn't surprise me if, you know, yeah, they go out and win, but then lose in 5 to the Bruins. Because, like I said, I mean, look, and I talked about this before going into the playoffs. Look, the Lightning's Their weak point right now is defense and goaltending, and not necessarily specifically goaltending, but I think it's a product of they're just not as good defensively as they have been in the past. They've lost some talent. Like I said, I mean, you go to 3 cup finals in a row, you know, eventually, you know, your guys start to age and you're just not going to be able to keep that same intensity up for a 4th year in a row. So I do think that, and by virtue of the fact that, you know, they're giving up, what, 4 goals a game, which is unheard of when you're talking about having goalie like Andrei Vasilevsky. But the reality of it is they're just not as good as what they were, and I think Toronto is exposing that. Well, if Toronto ends up beating the Bruins, well, the Bruins are the best defensive team in the league. They have, they literally just gave up their first power play goal in the last, like, 40-some-odd attempts. Or they've only allowed 2 power play goals in their last 50. So, you know, this is not a team that you're going to cripple when you put them on the power, you know, shorthanded. So Toronto, it's going to get kind of a rude awakening, I think, pretty early on. But, you know, for now, I mean, it's good for them, I guess, you know, setting them up for epic failure, though, in my opinion.
I would think so. Yeah, the Bruins are better than Toronto. But again, I think you can make a case that Toronto's biggest rival right now in the NHL is the Bruins, and vice versa, right? Because, I mean, the Canadians have kind of, I wouldn't say been irrelevant. They're still the Canadians, but they haven't been really good the last decade. So you kind of get a feeling that Toronto-Boston is one of the big rivalries in the NHL. And the Bruins, of course, have eliminated the Maple Leafs like 5 or 6 times over the last 20 years. So, you know, you would think that Toronto wants to try to break through, and who can forget 2013 game seven, it's 4-1 midway through the third period. Everybody's getting ready to like fire Claude Julien and move on from the core. And next thing you know, the Bruins are in the Stanley Cup final against the Blackhawks a couple weeks later. But yeah, it would be, the narrative would be great because again, you got the Canadian media, which would be all in, and obviously, you know, a lot of back and forth between the Boston media, the Canadian media would be kind of a fun story.
Yeah, and look, I think this is kind of that one time, like, I'm not a huge fan of the current playoff structure in the NHL. I think it ultimately should be, you know, going back to 1-8, 2-7, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. But fortunately for us hockey fans, it's kind of worked out pretty nicely with the matchups because you're getting you're getting traditional 1-8, 2-7 matchups in the East, where, you know, Boston and Carolina are, you know, clearly the better teams, and it looks like they might close it out in 5 or 6 games, each of them. And then you're getting some pretty good first round matchups, and the second round matchups seem to be setting up, pretty nicely. And yes, Kyle, I agree. The shootout and the trapezoid are the worst things in hockey. It drives me nuts. But I think it's working out pretty nicely to the point where, like, you're going to get either, I mean, what seems to be Toronto or Boston, and either the Rangers, Devils, or Hurricanes in the conference final. And I think that's appropriate. You know, in the past, you know, maybe we're not going to get as, you know, you're going to have what should be a conference championship matchup in the second round, which is kind of a bummer. But either way, I think it's working out pretty nicely so far, at least it's shaping up to be. However, I am still a big proponent of going back to 1-8 for the long run.
Would you reseed also? See, here's the thing in the NBA is they don't reseed. It's a bracket. So the Celtics are going to play Philadelphia. Meanwhile, if Miami and the Knicks win their series, they'll play each other.
Yeah,
so
no, you have yeah, two I reseed.
Three. Yeah, you reseed. So in the NBA, you're going to have potentially, or most likely, the 2 seed play the 3 seed in one conference semifinal, and then the 5 seed play the 8 seed in the other. So, you know, I mean, football essentially reseeds, right? I mean, if the 7 seed wins their wild card game, they play the 1 seed. So you reseed. Again, it gets a little quirky there because you might have an 8-9 team in the playoffs because they won their division. But yeah, whereas I think in the NHL this year, Ian, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, the Bruins are obviously in a class by themselves in the Eastern Conference. But I guess Carolina, New Jersey, the Rangers, and Toronto were really close in terms of points. So, you know, I guess there's not much wiggle room there, even if you reseeded, maybe turn out to be the same matchups.
Yeah, and look, that's fine. That's why I'm saying, like, look, ultimately I think this postseason has kind of worked out pretty nicely, certainly for our fans and matchups, or for the fans and the matchups. I still think, you know, if you're the 1 seed, you just play the lowest seed still remaining. You know, this bracket, you're guaranteed to play one of each of these two teams. Like, I shouldn't know exactly what two teams, you know, the Bruins could potentially play before a game's played. You know what I mean? Like, obviously going into the series, both series, we're like, okay, well, if the Bruins win, they're going to play either Toronto or Tampa. Well, I mean, that's nice and all, but, you know, I want some more intrigue. And like I said, I think the 1-8 setup is just is better. But, you know, that's me. If I had to choose, I'll keep the current playoff format and we can get rid of the shootout. So I think that'll be easy. I'm cool with that. I'm amenable to change. I like compromise and I do tend to, you know, try to make everyone happy. And I think everyone would be happy getting rid of the shootout. So
Ian for president. Yes. 2024.
Yes. My God. I mean, I might just do it to save us from having one of either 80-year-old candidate, you know.
No kidding. I'd vote for you. You're of age now.
I am. Yep. 36, so I was born in this country. I am 36, and I did inhale, though. I did inhale, unfortunately. So, but good for us. I was going to say it is 2023, so that's actually not so bad nowadays. So, all right, that's going to do it for us here today. We will be back on Thursday. We are no longer anticipating the Aaron Rodgers trade. We can sleep at night, John. We no longer have to wake up early wondering whether or not Aaron Rodgers will be traded today. We know he has been traded. So, all right, tune in tonight. The Celtics look to extend their postseason stay by advancing to the second round tonight. Then, of course, if you're a Bruins fan like myself, tune in tomorrow for the Bruins' chance to eliminate the Florida Panthers. So until then, we will, like I said, we'll rest easy knowing, hey, Aaron Rodgers is a Jet. The Celtics could potentially move on. Your boy LeBron is still going. And, yeah, we're going to have pretty fun. So, and remember, folks, Thursday, NFL draft. So thank you, everyone, and we'll talk to you soon.